This is the Shanice Lewis Show, the number one podcast for plus-size women. With your host, the queen of curvy conversation, Shanice Lewis.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Monday, May 30th, 2016. Follow this podcast social media pages on Facebook at Shanice Lewis Show and on Twitter and Instagram at Shanice Show. And don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on iTunes and Google Play Music. Today we have a very, very special guest on the show, Susan Moses. Susan Moses is the doyenne of plus fashion, along with years of experience steeped in the cultures of retail, editorial, advertising, film, television, and music. She brings a complete understanding that fashion is not just about loving clothes, it's also about how to wear them. And now, as a newly minted author, she brings the know-how to women throughout the world with her publication of her 254-page tome, The Art of Dressing Curves, The Best-Kept Secrets of a Fashion Stylist. Filled with high fashion images and prescriptive information covering everything from body type and style, personality, identity to shapewear know-how and building an essential wardrobe, The Jewel in the Crown is an international shopping guide. As a celebrity stylist, blogger, guest editor, spokesperson, and designer, Susan's signature has been showcased on red carpets and stages, from the Oscars to the Golden Globes, from the Grammys to the American Music Awards, and all the alphabet events, BET, MTV, VH1, and SAG, as well as in print, television advertising, and on late night and daytime talk shows. It brings me great pleasure to welcome Susan Moses to the show.
Hello.
Susan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come on the show tonight.
It's my pleasure.
So for those who aren't familiar with your story, tell us a little bit how you got started in the fashion industry.
And you have 2 hours?
Well, it started in retail, right?
It sure did. It started, actually, I was a government and public administration major at John Jay College of Criminal Justice here in New York, and I had a very strong interest in law. I really wanted to be an attorney and eventually branch off into some sort of international law and business. And while going to school, I became a plus model, and I worked in retail. And modeling wasn't something I really enjoyed, but I made a little bit of money. It was exciting. And but then I started working in fashion production, and this was at a time when 7th on 6th here in New York Fashion Week, it wasn't, now it's generally in one, held in one place. At this time, it was held all over the city. So I would help dress the models backstage, and that's where I think I really, really got smitten with fashion. It the excitement, the beauty, the clothing, the pace, all of it just, it just overwhelmed me, and I
and so at the time, your retail job and modeling was just like a hobby. You didn't just dream of being in fashion your whole life.
Yeah, and no, I didn't. I really didn't. But it was working behind the scenes during Fashion Week at these beautiful high-end shows. Jeffrey Bean, I worked at Karl Lagerfeld's first show in New York City. I think that's where I was totally smitten.
Now, your big break as a celebrity stylist came when you got connected with R&B star Brandy, correct?
Yes. Brandy was 14 years old at the time. I was in my early 20s, and I also was working as a fashion editor for a short-lived magazine called Shade Magazine, which I'm forever grateful for that job. And, you know, they kind of gave me total carte blanche to do what I wanted to do as a fashion editor. So I met so many wonderful creatives, and I had done some photo shoots and had also worked with Adina Howard. Remember Freak Like Me?
Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Yeah, she was my first album cover. And young woman at Atlantic Records saw some of the photos we had done with Adina, the more tamed ones, and she said, you know, I have this wonderful talent. I want you to go and meet her. She said, I'm not going to give you a name yet. She has a hit record that's, you know, just popping. And I went and met Brandy, and we quickly had sort of a sister synergy, and we worked together. Mm-hmm. I worked with Brandy for 7 years.
So for a short period, you had to live bi-coastal. Did you have a place in L.A. while she was working on Moesha?
I tell you, it was so funny. I got this call that Brandy had a television show, and her mom was like, I really want you to move here. And I was like, what? And in 2 weeks, I had 2 weeks to pack up and move to
L.A.
I was
gonna say, you can't tell Brandy's mom, no.
No, you can't tell Sonya. No one would know. And she was like, Brandy wants you out here. I want you out here. And thank God for good friends. My dear friend, Chris Maldonado, who actually passed. He died on the Aaliyah plane crash. I lived with Chris when I first moved to L.A. And he was like, don't sweat it, girl. Just come on out. And I ended up living in L.A. for like a little over 8 years. I was bi-coastal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the time, you were styling just people in entertainment. The plus size hadn't started yet.
Well,
so the plus size, go ahead.
It was interesting because it was during that time I worked with some of the teen, you know, pop artists. Britney Spears was one. I worked with her for a spell. I did get a chance to work a couple of times with the original Destiny's Child. And, you know, you always had the artists that, you know, didn't quite make it. But it was just so much happening during that time. The 90s was a real exciting time for music. It was really exciting.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
And so
I mean,
you...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking about that time. It always gives me, like, just so much joy when I think about that time. It was such a great part of the journey. It really was.
And so how did you get Queen Latifah as a client? Because this looks like what really propelled you into doing plus-size fashion.
Well, it was a combination of Latifah, but I had also started working with Mode Magazine. Mode Magazine was deemed the vogue for plus sizes. And originally,
right.
Mode was just supposed to be one. I think they were supposed to come out quarterly. Actually, yes. They were supposed to come out quarterly, and the demand was so overwhelming, they ended up going from quarterly to monthly. I did one
issue. Yes, I was subscribed
them.
To Mode Magazine.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone loved Mode Magazine. And that sort of helped me really to find my lane. Because, again, Mode gave me a lot of creative freedom. We traveled all over the world shooting, and it was really so inspiring. And in that time, I was able to shoot a cover with Queen Latifah. I think that was 2000 and – no, that was 98, actually. I did a Queen Latifah cover for Mode, and that was the first time I met her. I know it was the second time because she did a video with Brandy. I styled a video with Brandy – Latifah, Yo-Yo, and MC Light. I Want to Be Down remix.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that was my first time that I met her. And then I met her again for Mode, and I hadn't seen her in a moment, and she was she had just finished Chicago, and I was at a pool party at Billy Woodruff's house, the director, and I heard somebody say, Susan Moses, you think you got time for a sister? And that's where it all began.
Oh, wow. And so Queen Latifah, you were with her during her CoverGirl commercials and a lot of her films. So did that just lead you to being more high profile as she continued to soar with her career?
Yes. You know, working with Queen was a tremendous blessing because, you know, Queen Latifah did so many projects, and I was able to style her for, like, everything. And if I didn't style, I consulted. But I did a lot of the same with Brandy as well. I did a lot of consultation, took a lot of meetings on her behalf if, you know, Sonya trusted me. So that was pretty wonderful also. But with each artist, I mean, when you're dealing with someone who does music, television, and film, you're never home. You're never
home.
Yeah,
now, how did that affect your personal life? When all this was going on and you were bi-coastal, were you married at the time or this came later?
I got married in the summer of 1998. I took time off, and I remember Brandy was doing that movie in Mexico. They were shooting in Mexico. I think it was I Know What You Did Last Summer or something like that.
Uh-huh,
and I had to tell her, I said, Brandy, I think this summer I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married. So,
so you took the time off and you made the time for your personal life.
Yeah, I had to make time. And I had a wedding with about 225 guests. And this summer it'll be 17 years. I'm still married.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
thank you. So
you became kind of like the expert in styling the plus-size celebrities. And
yes.
You style almost every major plus-size celebrity in entertainment.
Yeah, I have. Monique, who went on to win an Oscar. I work with Monique. I styled Monique for her first Essence cover. And that was, we had a great time. I always enjoy working with Monique. I work with Sherry Shepherd, Angie Stone, Gabourey Sidibe, Jill Scott, Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray. It's been a real blessing. Kathy Bates, who's, you know, she's one of my favorite people on the planet. I've had a really blessed journey. Really have.
And this
is interesting
because nowadays people are marketing themselves to be the top in plus size and, you know, trying to build a career in plus size, and this just kind of fell to you organically.
Yeah. It was at a time when styling wasn't a celebrity stylist wasn't a buzzword. You know, it wasn't the it thing to do in a moment. You know, I didn't have like a mentor. I kind of learned as I fell into the gaps. You know, it was that time, and there were a lot of creatives back then that kind of sort of had that same journey. It's like, we're just going to do what we feel we want to do, what the calling is. We're going to rise up to the occasion and just do it.
Now, how do you think the plus-size industry and styling and just everything has changed over the last 10 years, especially with the introduction of social media? Because you said now it's kind of like a buzzword to be a fashion stylist, because everybody that posts pictures on Instagram think they're a fashion stylist now.
And a makeup artist. And a, you know,
right.
I will say this. I'm grateful for what the bloggers have done, because there was a time, I think it was like 2001, that's when Mode magazine closed down, and there were a lot of companies that were on the cusp of doing plus. They were going to do it, and because the economy tanked, a lot of companies didn't move forward, and some of them even closed. So there was a lull where there was really the options were really bad. They were really, really bad. And, you know, that's one of the reasons in my book I give a shout out to 21 of my favorite bloggers. You know, I wanted to do like 50, but my editor was like, listen, we gotta stop. But you know, these women have been on the front line saying, hey, we need better clothing, we need more quality, we need more style, we want runway inspiration. And I'm grateful for that. I'm glad that they did that, because it was a wake-up call to the industry that, you know what, all women deserve beautiful clothes. I don't know where this came from that, you know, that plus-size women do not want beautiful clothing and runway-inspired clothing.
Right.
That's still a major misconception about curvy women.
It is. And your new book, which you mentioned, tell me a little bit about your book, The Art of Dressing Curves, The Best Kept Secrets of a Fashion Stylist. Now, tell me, what will we find inside this book?
Well, I definitely start in the intro. I tell my story, you know, how I came to be a fashion stylist. And then I talk about how, you know, your reflection is perfection. And this is where I break down the different body types. And how when you're familiar with your body type, it makes it easier for you to find the proper silhouettes for you. It's not such a hardship. I also talk about shapewear. I really break down shapewear. There's so many options out there today. It's not like what our great grandmothers and grandmothers wore. It's easy to wear. It's breathable. A lot of it's even sexy. I talk about bras, bra fittings, the different types of bras. There's so many choices: minimizers, corsets, demi cups, there's so many choices. Wardrobe Essentials is the chapter where I focus on the 15 timeless pieces that you every woman should have in her closet. And I talk about everything from the black dress, the pencil skirt, the crisp white shirt, you know, a really good outfit to work out in. I really, really break it down and just try to make getting dressed easier and fun for every woman, because fashion should not be a hardship. It should not be something that makes us feel miserable. We should feel good about ourselves. And my book is also very much layered with quotes from icons in fashion and entertainment, because I really, really want women to feel good about themselves. There's a lot of negativity out here, and, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap. It really, really mm-hmm. is. You know, I even go into the fashion myths that are, you know, that we're debunking. Like, women should, you can wear stripes. You can wear a bodycon dress. You can wear monochromatic colors and look beautiful. So I talk about that. I break down the different style personalities, you know, from the sophisticated to the maverick to the bohemian style. I break all of that down. And my last two chapters, I focus on accessories and glamour. And glamour was really, really important, because that's a huge part of the conversation that we're often left out, you know,
right.
Glamour and beauty. And we're entitled
right.
to that as well, you know. I would love to see more options, more beautiful
right.
cocktails.
Right, so this
dresses.
Is like the A to Z. I
yeah.
guess somebody is struggling, don't know how to dress their curvy body. This
mm-hmm.
is the book that you need.
Yes, and In Style, the press has been wonderful. In Style has deemed The Art of Dressing Curves as the ultimate guide to dressing your curves. So I'm really, really,
awesome.
Really proud of the book and excited about it. And the crowning jewel is the resource guide in the back of the book, because so many women still do not know all that's available all around the world. They're
right.
great shops, and online shopping is, you know, I know it could be a little difficult. I wish that we had more options here, more brick-and-mortar options where we can walk into the store and touch and feel and try on. But the
right.
options online have really, really grown. They really have.
Now, are you promoting the book with events at Macy's? Because I saw you're doing some things at Macy's on the East Coast.
I launched the book at Macy's. Macy's wanted the exclusive on it. And in the meantime, I was also launching my new initiative, which is Empowering Women NYC. And
right.
I had a luncheon at the United Nations, which with 300 of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened with a fashion show, with Christian Siriano's fashion show, and Lane Bryant was the title sponsor. And so I've never done things the conventional way, so I figured I wanted to get the press, a lot of the media and the interviews done, and then my tour will kick off in probably late summer or through the fall, go out through the fall.
So will the tour be at Macy's stores or at bookstores?
They will be at different stores. Some will be at Macy's and some will be at bookstores.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And
we're still
in the midst of planning. My team, we're still planning, because I do things kind of in an unconventional fashion. So we're still planning. I want to put some surprises in there. Sorry to cut you off.
Right. Now, the Empowering Women NYC, now, this is this an organization you created, a nonprofit?
Yes.
What?
Yes, it is. It is an organization that I've created because I really, really wanted to, and I call my second chapter, I really, really want to help women to number one, to walk in their own purpose, and to also nurture the fact that we should see more women in fashion and beauty and in media at large, of different sizes, different races, you know, and different ages. To me,
mm-hmm.
fashion and beauty really needs to reflect what's happening in real life. Women
right.
are living longer, looking fabulous. Why shouldn't we see more older women in these arenas?
And you've been very vocal in how there needs to be more women of color used in campaigns, not just in the plus industry, but just in the fashion industry in general.
Yeah, in general. I mean, this is a conversation that's been going on since the, like, 80s and 90s with Beth Ann Hardison. You know, it's like, when are we going to get it? So my first initiative was called the Body Inclusivity and Diversity Summit. It was held at the United Nations on May 9th, and it was very successful. The press was incredible. Women's Wear Daily, which is the fashion bible, they covered the event, and it was well received. I was really, really, I've been really happy with the response, with the phone calls, with the emails, because it's an important conversation that we need to continue.
And so this was the first event, so are there going to be several events to come? Are you going to travel around with the event, or what's next?
I am definitely planning to do different types of events. But,
okay.
You know, again, I never make the announcement before everything is written in stone. But I will definitely keep you updated for sure.
And are you partnered with Lane Bryant for your organization, or they were just a sponsor for that particular event?
They were the title sponsor for that particular event. They were.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you are a fashion stylist, but these days, can like the average up-and-coming model or personality book you, or are now you just doing industry and celebrity projects exclusively?
I can still be booked. It all depends on the project and my time, because I like to give 150%. I will never say yes to something that I know I can't do, and I can't give my all to.
Right, and now you're very busy now, so I know you have even less time to commit to different things.
But styling will always be a part of what I do, because even after all these years, I've been styling now, I think about, it's been about, it's definitely over 15, 20 years, so, you know, it's in me. It's not going anywhere.
Right. And designer is also one of your titles. Now, did you have a line before? I can't remember.
I did a capsule collection, which I featured at Full Figure Fashion Week here in New York in 2010. And I also was the creative director for Queen Latifah's Curvation line as well.
Oh, I remember
that.
Any more plans to design in the future?
That is definitely in the plan. That is definitely a part of my plan. For me, it's always finding the right partners and the right project.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going to have quite an empire. We're going to have the Susan Moses clothing line. We're going to have the Susan Moses events, the book. What's next, the TV show?
Yes, it is. That's in the works also. That's part of the plan. That's part of the master plan.
I'm excited for you and everything that you're doing. And I got to say, you know, I was researching, and a lot of things that you've done and a lot of people you work with, I had no idea. I mean, I knew that you had done a lot, but I didn't see it just all written out. You have had an amazing career.
Oh, yeah. It's you know, and that's part of the – when I look back at my career, I took a lot of chances. You know, when I was in college, I left school and never looked back. Of course, my mother wanted to choke me, but I've always been one of these people that when I put my mind to something, I'm just going to do it. And I think that a lot of us need to take those chances. Just take a chance sometime, follow your heart and your passion, and do what you were meant to do.
Now, if somebody is listening now and they are trying to be a fashion stylist, you know, maybe somebody in the South or someone in a smaller market, what was some advice you would give them to get their career started?
You know, I have a couple of young women that I do mentor in the industry.
Oh.
And one of the things that I tell them is that you have to get into the environment. There's so much to learn, and there's so many lanes in styling. You know, everybody's not going to be the celebrity stylist, because that takes a certain temperament as well. You know, you're dealing with management, you're dealing with travel, you're dealing with a lot of different people when you're dealing with celebrity. But there's also styling there's the magazines, there's, you know, if you want to do things for online or what used to be catalog, everything is online now. There are people who work in television. There are people who work in film. And in film, it's costume designing, but there's still styling there. So there's mm-hmm. so many different aspects of styling that you can get into. It's just finding your lane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
you know,
would you say networking is a big thing? Because it looks like
a
lot mm-hmm. of the things you've done is because you were networking and had a good reputation.
Yeah, and that's another thing, keeping a good reputation. Following up with people, you know, when you say you're going to call someone, you're going to email that resume or your bio, follow through. You know, be a person
mm-hmm.
of your word and do good work. Do your research also. If you're going to go meet with someone, go, you know, find out as much as you can about the person or about the company that they work for. You know,
and I also noticed one thing about you is you don't put every single thing that you're doing on social media.
I don't. Well, yeah, I think that's part of my old school training. You know, it took
and,
me a minute.
And it's like not let everybody know every move you're making.
Exactly. You know, I'm not one that gets on, you know, social media and says, I'm going to a meeting about a meeting. I'm like, just go to the meeting.
Right. And then nothing comes of it and people are like, what happened?
Exactly. You're just putting too much pressure on yourself. I don't make any announcements until the ink is dry. That's, you know, that's part of my training. And I think
it's
best that way.
Sense.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else happening or coming up that we need to be on the lookout for?
Well, I'll you know what? I will be making appearances for the book, and we're still planning. That's a big part of it. I'm really focused on this book. It took me a year to write it, and so, mm-hmm. you know, I really have to be focused on it. And because I just finished these two big projects, my team, we're kind of resetting things up for the tour and where we're going to go and, you know, which stops we're going to make, which cities. And so that's what I'm working on now. But like,
and where can the book be purchased?
The book can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, HarperCollins.com, and it's actually sold worldwide and in ebook.
Oh, all right.
Book now, yes, yeah. Yeah, HarperCollins is, I was really, really blessed. They are one of the six largest publishing companies in the world, and my book is being sold worldwide in all languages.
Awesome.
Yeah, yes, it's something I always wanted to do was write a book. And when my agent called me and said, you know, it looks like we have an opportunity for you to meet with HarperCollins. Do you have any idea of what you want to write or any type of proposal? My proposal was ready. It had been done for a year.
Oh,
so
wow. And so
yeah.
The opportunity, again, kind of fell in your lap. This seems
yeah.
to be a recurring theme with you.
It does. And I was ready. I made a couple of tweaks, and I was ready. But it's interesting. When you're writing a book, as you're writing, it always evolves. You know, things change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I was supposed to turn in 35,000 words. I ended up turning in 65,000 words. So it, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My editor kept saying, you know, this is a really big book. And I had an amazing co-author, Miss Jelani Bendele. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And, you know, I could call her at any time of the night, and we had a joke. I would say good afternoon, and it would be 3 o'clock in the morning. So, but writing a book is daunting. It's a little scary because you're like, what are they going to think? You know, is anybody going to buy this? And but, you know, thank God it's all in divine order, and it's going very well, and I'm really excited. This is a good time.
Yes, well, I'm excited for everything you're doing. You definitely have my support on everything. And tell us your official website to buy the book and to keep up with everything you have going on.
My website is SusanMoses.com, and on Instagram and Twitter is SusanMosesNYC, because I'm a New Yorker. And you can also you can also follow me also on Empowering Women NYC as well.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to speak with you and learn about your journey, and it just looks like good things always follow you. So I'm sure it's more to come.
Well, I think so. I think so. I'm just trying to you know, follow the call and do what's right and have a good time while I'm doing it. Because a big part of this is enjoying it and being happy.
That's right. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening and definitely keep in touch and let me know what the next projects you have going on.
I certainly will. Thanks for having me, Shanice.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to our fabulous guest this evening, Susan Moses. Make sure you pick up a copy of her book, The Art of Dressing Curves, available nationwide. And if you haven't already, don't forget to like our fan page on Facebook.com/Shanice Lewis Show and on Instagram and Twitter at Shanice Show. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.
You've been listening to the Shanice Lewis Show. For more info about the show, visit ShaniceLewisShow.com.